People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Better have you naked by the end of this pod, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's... Don't look at me like that.
Pervert.
My name's Marcus and Pete's here.
Hello.
Luke's here.
All right.
Jim's not here.
No.
No.
Jim will never be involved in the Stereo Ramble. He missed out. He looked out there.
What have you got lined up for us this time, Eno?
Don't know.
Brian Eno.
Wall of sound. Just a big roar in the middle of the podcast. Wonderful.
Bring the gym back.
I'm going to bring David Lynch in a minute.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Ladies and gentlemen, good to have you with us. We're going to bring you a ramble, damn it all.
We were literally in and around people's ears and head.
We were, yeah. I was right channel. I think Lukey was left and Marcus was central.
I was on the left cutting in. Yeah. Marcus was the focal point in the middle.
Marcus is the fulcrum.
The out-and-out striker.
Zlatan. Louis van Gaal said his players' confidence will be shot to pieces after the 2-1 home loss to Swansea. If you were the big, tested Dutchman, how would you turn the screw, Pete?
I would instigate not the Alex Ferguson hairdryer treatment or the David Moyes whatever the hell he did last season. I would go for Louis Chewy, where he would, half-time, chew on the players who have annoyed him's ears.
I thought you were going to say something else.
No, just really chew. You know, like dogs chew on pigs' ears sometimes. Yeah. You buy them a couple of pigs' ears and they just go to town on them. Louis just chewing on their ear. Yeah. And it would kind of like, it would be like a metaphor for getting the hairdryer treatment sort of thing. People shouting in their ears. But instead, just genuine gnashing of teeth on your soft fibres of your ears, I suppose.
Tyson-esque. Like Tyson-esque. Well, it would certainly make you buck your ideas up, wouldn't it?
It would sort of an out, I think.
It's not the treatment I would want.
No.
Because he's quite a sort of fleshily wattled man as well, so I don't know if I'd want that close
jowly,
to my face.
Would you say?
No, I wouldn't do the disservice of calling him jowly. Yeah,
he will become jowly.
Just to me...
he has great jowls within.
Well, I don't know about you, Pete, but to me, the term jowly man, as first monikered on the show a while back...
Jowly man!
It basically says to me, like, the sort of the big buffet-eating exec who never actually contributed anything to the game, whereas Van Gaal's made a huge contribution
absolutely
to the game. So you wouldn't want to give him the disrespect.
He's not a fan.
No, he's just got a little...
No, he's not a jowly man.
Yeah. No.
And if I catch any of you saying that he is... there'll be trouble.
I reckon his face would be very warm.
Mm.
He's got a big red face, lovely red face. Yeah.
When he gets angry, imagine it would. It would certainly be quite the heater. Luke, what have you got to answer the opening question with?
I was thinking that Van Gaal has probably got exactly the same amount of trophies as he has first team players in his squad. So what I would do is I would like him to turn up at training. I suppose it would be this morning.
Yeah.
With a bin full of the trophies he's won.
Take
and,
one.
And just ping one off each of their heads.
Yeah. Or make them brasso them for the rest of the training session.
But then you would be like, you get dinged in the head by a Van Gaal trophy and you'd be like, oh, that's to be fair, it's the Champions League one. And other people would be like, oh, I've got the Super Cup.
You wouldn't get dinged in the head. The Champions League trophy is a massive trophy.
Van Gaal's a massive man.
Yeah.
He's a powerful man. He can throw it.
I'm just saying the impact, it wouldn't be a ding, it would be a clunk off your head, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I suppose, unless the actual base hit you, then it would be more of a ding.
I thought you were going to say he would give them each one a trophy and just go, look after that. And it would just be really unnerving.
Yeah, what's coming next?
Don't lose it or anything. And then he'd try and lose them. He'd have them on strings like Top Cat with that coin.
Yeah.
And he'd pull them back out of the players' houses or whatever. And then he'd go, "Where's my trophy?" And they'd each have to explain. Yeah. And he'd find out which ones were the honest players to which ones actually explained
that
they'd lost it.
That's a good one. Yeah. I was actually going to say that I would save the Champions League, one of the Champions League one for Rooney.
Right.
And ding it off his head, but it'd be full of Van Gaal's piss. So it'd like soak him in piss as well. And Ashley Young will come over and go, "Oh, you're not the only one who's been defecated on this weekend.
The Van Gaal piss bucket challenge.
Yeah.
I nominate you to Alex Ferguson to throw my piss on you.
How many Champions Leagues has he won? Is it two?
He won one with Ajax.
It might just be the one, actually. I think it's one, yeah, so Rooney's getting it.
Anyway, we're not allowed to call him Captain,
you've got to step up and be counted.
We're not allowed to call him Van Gaal anymore, we've got to call him Van Gaal, on the BBC. That's their in-house. Despite the fact I'm fairly certain I saw a piece on the BBC itself saying that it's definitely Gaal.
Yeah, because a lot of the Dutch guys are Hullet, for example.
Hmm.
But yeah, Harry Lineker said Van Gaal, didn't
they? the BBC style guide is now Van Gaal.
Oh.
They've all been saying it. Over the weekend.
Fortunately, we don't have one of them.
No.
Although I wish we did.
Also, the correct grammatical way to write a Van Dutch surname is if you're just using the surname, you capitalise the V. If you're using the first name as well, the V in Van should be in lowercase.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
Very correct. Mm. I've made an error there, I will know for next week.
Denise Van Outen was originally just Denise Outen. Why she added the Van, I will never know.
Right, okay. Well, if you're referring to her in the press as Van Outen, then capitalise the V. If you're going to use the Denise beforehand, just make it a small V.
Well, what I would argue is that she doesn't have any Dutch,
I don't know where enough. I don't know.
It's not the 90s anymore.
No. I'm just saying, try to bring it back. I saw it at V Festival over the weekend.
Shall I answer the opening question?
Sorry, He Festival.
Van Festival.
If I was living in hell, I'd get Sir Alex Ferguson in the dressing room before one of the games and just be like, "Oh, I remember him. Oh, there's the boss." And then just beat the crap out of him.
Would you,
in front of the ball.
Yeah.
And be like, "Now get out there!"
I don't think they would like that.
They'd get the message.
What the message is, I'm not sure, but they would certainly get a message.
I think the Premier League's definitely got a little bit more fearful this season.
Can you imagine Luke Shaw going, "I preferred it when he just got his bollocks out"?
You've got Van Gaal at United and you've got Roy Keane at Villa. It's getting a lot scarier, I think.
In my mind, because of what the news reports that have come out of Old Trafford, I think Luke Shaw's just still running somewhere. He was set out the trail on his own about a week and a half ago. No one's seen him since.
Oh, dear. Pete's got the points.
Yay.
Oh, Swansea got the points. Didn't they? 2-1, Man United are back. I said to a friend of mine, I was like, "Oh my goodness, I bet United fans thought that, you know, it'd be back to normal." And he just replied, "This is normal now."
We're like everybody else now.
Has Van Gaal broken a record in his first game?
It was, where have I got it written? Somewhere on this piece of paper. Their first home loss on the opening day of the league season since 1972.
I mean,
They've got a lot of injuries. I mean, I would say that.
The stats are just...
What I liked about it...
Coming thick and fast.
All that fraff from the Premier League about vining goals and all that. The first major vine incident was a bird doing a shit in a man's mouth. Very enjoyable.
Yeah, actually, no. But
I found it quite sickening.
He got jobbed in the mouth.
Yeah.
Very strange happening.
It rarely happens. I remember that happened to the drummer from the Kings of Leon once.
Apparently they stormed off halfway through.
What, because... Bird.
Well, apparently there were pigeons nesting in the roof of the stage or something, and they were getting shat on the whole time, which I think is an excellent critique, personally.
They should wear buckets like their song, The Bucket.
Yeah.
Pigeons shat on me.
Sounded a bit like the old guy from Simpsons.
No, he's mad at that.
Oh, yeah, Family Guy.
Oh, yeah, Herbert the Burbert.
I was going to say to you that I have seen a YouTube video of an American news reporter walking through a field.
Yeah.
And having a bird deposit something in his mouth. And he sort of just goes... they cut back to the studio.
Yeah, Ashley Young didn't look phased at all.
No.
No.
Suggesting that it's not his first time.
What, do you think he instructed him to do it? To energise him?
I don't know. Maybe when the Kings of Leon were playing, he really liked him. He's like, "Don't worry, guys, I'll take care of this." And he, like, put his mouth over the drum.
I think that's unlikely.
It's confusing.
I think that is
very abstract.
Yeah. All right, let me just have a little lull.
But Swansea's first goal was good, wasn't it?
It was.
Really good.
Dragging it back to the football.
It must be difficult for teams like that, because whenever if they get, like, a showcase result at Old Trafford, everyone just talks about how much a disarray United are in.
But that's...
I think that sort of played in their hands a little bit.
Largely the reason, isn't it? I mean, Swansea were good, but Manchester United were also bad. Very bad.
Yeah.
I mean, Swansea's first goal, as you say, 29 passes, was just brilliant.
Nice finish from Key, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. Just sort of slotted it nicely. But it was the space he had to do that with. That's one of the alarming things, isn't it?
Thanks to Boney.
But what do you think?
Well, absolutely, Boney.
That was a fantastic tactical foul.
Little block off on the defender. But still, though, he had a lot of room, and the pass to Boney as well was pretty easy.
Mm. I'm so glad Boney plays in the Premier League. I think he's a really, really talented footballer.
You're a big fan.
I love that man.
He's a good player. Did you? You obviously concede that United's injuries were a factor in that, because they're nowhere near full strength at the moment, are they? They've got the most injuries in the Premier League.
They've just got no pace, though. I think Woodward needs to have a good old hard look at himself. I know they haven't got Champions League football to attract footballers into the club, but they just really do look threadbare, it doesn't look like it's getting any better.
It's quite bad, isn't it? And it's a sign of the modern game that they are perhaps not... Well, they'll always attract big players, but you're right, they don't have Champions League football. And if they don't get it again, then suddenly their star really does fade, and no amount of talking about history and all the size of the stadium, you'd say, sorry, actually, I'd rather play with your noisy neighbours or down the road in London.
But you just get the idea that Van Gaal he must have isolated several deficiencies in his squad, and I know he said it was a bit of a blank slate for all of his footballers, and he spent a lot of pre-season talking about taking a good look at his new squad, but you've just got to look at Woodward and sort of say, well, where are the signings coming from? Where are they getting in? The sort of players that Manchester United need, it's not going to be wrapped up in a week, is it? These sort of players, have massive, massive contracts, and it doesn't look like they're going to get. It's going to be another false start of the scene, I think.
It's a little bit odd because for a number of reasons, but they had a really good sort of encouragement pre-season. They seemed to be a group of players who were working hard to impress the manager. They gave all the signals that's what they were.
I mean, this is only one game,
of course it is, but they've got a 5 or 6 game start where they've got a lot of winnable games.
Yeah,
I mean, they're away at Sunderland next. But that all of a sudden, that doesn't necessarily look that much of an easy game now.
Mm. Well, again, when Januzaj came on, he looked like the best player, and that's exactly what happened in Moyes' season as well. He looked like the quickest player on the field, and he looked decent.
And I thought Swansea would struggle this season. Yeah. They still might, of course, but Swansea were sort of twice as good as I thought they'd be, and Man United were twice as bad.
Did you like how Moyes was there straight away?
It was one of these.
I needed more time. Needed more time.
Kicking the tyres. It's a state, isn't it?
Do you think that interview was probably done a couple of weeks ago? And they were like, shall we release? No, let's just hold on
to that. Yeah, keep it back.
And at half-time,
I'm surprised that Moyes hasn't been considered for the Palace job, to be honest.
I think he probably ruled himself out of it.
Really?
I reckon so.
Do you go from Manchester United to Palace? I mean,
it's a Premier League job.
Yeah, but I mean, with the greatest respect to Palace. Yeah.
Not yet to Palace.
Okay, well, what are you suggesting then?
We should work down to it.
We have had a hot...
Oh, that's me.
Sorry.
I'm distancing myself from that.
London have had a hot summer.
I'm only joking.
With that complexion, he's probably gone, I fancy something a bit chillier.
The worst of it's over, Pete. Yeah. I'm the man who fastidiously checks the weather with the fair skin I've got, and I'm telling you now, the worst of it's over. David Moyes should not be turning his nose up, in my opinion, at a London-based Premier League club.
Well, maybe he doesn't want to live in London.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't. But
a lot of the players
he
could attract could live in London, though. That's the big thing for me, I think.
Yeah, maybe, but he's not a name that's being linked to that job. Mm.
Okay, I'll argue my point in another way, just using two words. Tim Sherwood.
I want to talk a little bit more about Swansea.
Okay.
It's good to see Sigurdsson back at the club.
Mm. Playing in his right position, in a position he wasn't afforded at Spurs because they got other players there, of course.
Correctamundo.
And he looked... The problem with Sigurdsson, in my view, and a lot of people's views, I would have thought, is that he just lacks a yard of pace to be a genuinely world-class creative midfield player. And so he gets farmed out around all over the place at a club like Spurs. But if he can play consistently in that position, I think he'll be good this season.
Yeah, he's an excellent player.
Because they've got pace out wide, haven't they, Swansea? So they've got pace in other areas of the pitch. It's not as important.
Well, that's he's got options. I mean, Spurs, when they did sign all those players, Clint Dempsey was another one who wasn't perhaps used as well as he could have been. Yeah. He moved away. I mean, Dembele, the Fulham's man, of course.
But that's been Spurs' story for a long time, ever since Harry was there. They just have too many players in the same position and they just don't know how to use them.
Absolutely. I mean, Eriksen was clearly that man.
He should still be that man. I think he's the pick of the bunch. Yeah,
no argument.
Dembele played a little bit deeper, hasn't he?
But you want to see, especially a creative player like Sigurdsson, who scores the odd goal as well.
You want to see him on the ball, yeah.
You want to see him on the ball. You want to see him doing stuff. And as you say, with the two wide boys, that'll do him lovely as well. A big Jonge. Big John Joe behind him.
But Van Gaal sort of changed it midway through. It was like half time and he sort of switched.
We said about the injuries. Then they had a couple of injuries on the pitch as well.
Big John Joe. Big John just took it upon himself to officially welcome Ander Herrera to the Premier League. standing over him, just screaming and swearing at him. Herrera must have been like, what is happening? What is this bald
third circle of hell?
Dinosaur egged head man doing standing
screaming
over him.
Screaming at me.
No, you've got to initiate them somehow.
What
you?
Do I do?
Welcome to hell! Welcome to hell! It's my home ground!
Do I put a worm in your mouth? I'm confused. This weird duckling shouting at me.
Ashley Young playing wing back, and then sort of full back, was he? In the second half.
I think Ashley Young playing at all is a sign of...
Well, even nature clearly doesn't agree with it.
But I would defend that because Ashley Young, everyone was...
Wing back, I can see.
Everyone was clearly given a clean slate when Van Gaal took over, and Ashley Young has played a bit in pre-season and clearly done okay, and that's why he was picked. And they've got injuries, haven't they? I mean, that's part of it as well. And he did seem to be working quite hard. I don't think he played that well, but I don't think that many United players played that well in total. So I thought Herrera was decent enough. I thought he showed... The thing about Herrera is, he's not going to do it on his own. He's not the type of player who will make something happen on his own. He can pass the ball nicely, and he uses the ball correctly, and he's great positionally. But he's not going to pull out a back heel to unlock the door for you.
If a bird, right, was... maybe he made his nest in some kind of, I don't know, drug research lab.
Yeah.
And he subsisted on a diet of whatever he could find, but also tablets they might have lying around.
Yeah.
And he did a poo in Ashley's mouth, and he was later drug tested. Could Ashley argue that he had those outside influences? You know, he hadn't in plan for a bird to poo in his mouth. Could he get away with it? I'm just saying that Ashley Young could take drugs now and it'd be okay.
You
in this very small window.
You wonderful, whimsical bastard.
Mm.
He didn't swallow, did he? I think he swallowed.
I don't know. It's still on his lips.
Yeah, maybe.
He'd rub it into his gums.
It would be hard to prove.
It would be hard to prove.
That's why you've got the
drug test thing, haven't you?
I mean, if you are worried about failing a drugs test, then there's your get out.
Just make sure everyone sees.
Not that we condone that
in your mouth.
What? Not that we condone.
No, of course we don't.
Of course we don't.
Well, we can because we're not affiliated with anyone, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
Apart from our new sponsors, cocaine.
Take as many drugs as you can.
Thank you, Young.
Back to the football. Do you think that Van Gaal? Do you think how much was this the 3-5-2 system? Or the players that he just doesn't have, or all of it put together? Because, I mean, coming out and saying, we don't have players that are good enough, and we need three or four.
He also said we didn't play as a team. We didn't play as a team.
But it's quite... If you were in the squad, you'd be a little bit annoyed at that, wouldn't you?
Should have got Hoddle in like Redknapp did.
There you are.
Yeah, get Hoddle in. The 3-5-2 master. He's the splinter. He's the Mr. Miyagi of the 3-5-2.
Ah, yes.
But it's more just like the fact that he's gone, right, we're going into this match with a particular formation, and then half-time suddenly going... Oh, balls. And I said, well, then all of that, your preparation, all of like the glory had installed in one man the match.
If you want to play 3-5-2, that's fine. But if your midfield players aren't going to track runners to the extent that Swansea score their first goal in that manner, it doesn't really matter what formation you play.
Yeah.
You know, look at how much the City midfield player, Fernando, how hard he worked going back. You know, how much he covered runs and stuff. I mean, you've got to do that.
Yeah, Torre was loving that.
Yeah, of course he was.
He's looking around going, bloody hell.
I would even go as far as to say that's specifically why he's been signed. and if your midfield players aren't going to do that, like I say, it doesn't matter if you have an extra man midfield or not, or you played 3-5-2 or 4-4-2 or whatever it is, because you're not going to pick up the runners, and players are going to get in there and score, and they're going to nip in and hurt you, and that's what happened.
There we are. So well done to the Super Swans.
Definitely. Great result.
A fantastic result. Leicester City. They picked up their first Premier League point.
Great news.
In a while. Yeah, they drew to all with Everton. Aidan McGeady. Brilliant. What a goal that was.
Picked his spot lovely, didn't he?
He whipped it in the top corner.
That's his first goal for Everton, is it not?
Is that right?
I think it might be, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player, Aidan McGeady. He's obviously went off to Russia after being in Scotland. So it's good to see him. Hopefully, because he's quite a tricky winger at times. Hopefully he can make an impact this season.
He seems to have come off the bench a lot when he's played for Everton last season. So be interested to see how he's deployed this time around.
And the worry for Leicester was, like we said, with such a hard start that you thought, blimey, you don't want them to be five games in or whatever and only maybe 1 point. I mean, that could still happen, of course. But it's great that they did get the point against a good Everton side who have ambitions of European football next season.
Yeah.
You know, they'd be an outside bet for top four. I think Martin, as he said last season, that's what he wanted, and he'll probably set up his stall to achieve that, or try and achieve that this season.
I can see the rationale behind playing McGeady more often than not, because they've got Big Lukaku in there, and if he can hit the byline and maybe whip some crosses in, Lukaku can not only benefit from that, but then so can Stephen Nuisance Value Naismith.
Yeah.
Steve, the Nuisance Naismith.
He took his goal quite nicely. Nice, shame about Barkley's injury, isn't it?
Very much so, yeah. But I don't think it's as serious as first fear. I think he's only going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks now, I read today. Yeah,
it's a medial ligament, but they reckon that could go on for, you know, he could come back and then do it again, and it's a very tricky injury. But it's in the knee, isn't it?
Yeah, some reports were saying he'd be out for 5 months, but in the Independent today, Martinez said it might only be up to 8 weeks. So, I mean, that would be much better for him. But like, as you say, if he needs to get...
It's a ligament lottery.
Yeah, it is.
Isn't it always? Ajoa on his debut laced one in from close range. They're lovely ones, aren't they?
Yeah, as I said last week, I think his game's well suited to the Premier League. Mm. He's strong and he sniffs out a chance. He makes intelligent runs and he'll also get his fair share of headers as well. He's a big, strong unit. Mm. And I think he's just what Leicester need. I think that's a good signing.
He does like a header. Nugent's playing just behind him.
Yeah.
And then you've got, Vardy? He'll be in and around the formation during the season. So they've got some good players going forward.
And the Chris Wood guy that plays up front for them, he had a really good spell on loan at Millwall, New Zealander. He scored the equaliser, didn't he?
He did. Mm. Is he from New Zealand?
He is, yeah. He's from Auckland, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so a great point, and great that they battled back in to the match. Gareth Barry was fortunate.
He was lively, wasn't he?
Fortunate is an understatement. I'll tell you, I would call that a straight down the line 100% bottle job from the referee. A first day of the season bottle job.
Well, they weren't bottling it elsewhere in the league, were they?
I suppose
not. In some of the other games. But yeah, you look at that, and if you're a Leicester fan, you must just think, oh, come on.
Well, I think that, you expect a different level of referee maybe at that
Barry
level.
Barry knew as well. Barry would have walked off the pitch.
For me, I think it's just genuinely, fan base. Am I going to get hold of the calls if I make the decision compared to if I make the decision at Old Trafford against Manchester United?
Get used to it, because as someone who supported a team who were newly promoted to the Premier League not that long ago,
Portsmouth.
It happens quite a lot.
It happens all the time, yeah. Stinking behaviour.
I don't even know who the referee was, actually. I can't remember.
Well, I don't know.
So, Johnny Blindo.
Johnny Blindo, damn it.
I can't
all.
Believe he's still getting a game.
No, that's right, yeah.
Well, he replaced the referee that left last season, so it's fine.
Gary Eyes.
Johnny Vision. It's two Johnnies.
Four blind spot. Leicester, though, good point. It's a good game as well. Love that. It's always great, isn't it, when the promoted sides come up and they have a really good opening day. Mm. Not what we'll say about Queen's Park Rangers, sadly, in a minute, but they have a great opening day. The fans are really up for it. The sun's shining. Yeah. The scene's set, Luke.
But come away from what is on paper a difficult game against a good quality bunch of players with a point. Mm. And that's something to hang your hat on, isn't it? That's important, because if they had lost that game 2-1, despite having chances, then it would have been disappointing for them, of course.
But the kind of confidence that Louis van Gaal's men would love.
I don't think it'll get any easier for them, though, because like we said last week, they've got such a tough opening run that...
I think they'll play a Man United soon, so...
Yeah. Those jokes are coming out again, I can't believe it. We're making those jokes like midway through last season.
As you said about, I forget which team... you said it about, it might have been whoever it was, when you think, the fans might get, you've had your fun.
Yeah, I have had their fun.
You really have.
You can just imagine sort of like the match against Manchester United, like Gary Lineker feeding all of the pigeons outside crisps. Slowly just jamming them at their mouths. Nice and fat, nice and full. Greasy crisps. Who are our new sponsors? Greasy crisps.
Yeah.
Not as nice.
No. We'll take anything. Queen's Park Rangers, they lost 1-0 at home to Hull. Much was made of the goal from Chester, obviously losing his marker, Rio Ferdinand. Man marking, zonal marking, blah, 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 blah.
Well, he was definitely man marking him.
Exactly. Which I'm glad, actually, that happened, because when you see on Sky Sports and all the rest, when they always slag off zonal marking when maybe that doesn't go to plan. They never say in a corner when it's man marking and someone loses his man and nods in. Because if you lose your man, then effectively you've got a free run.
Yeah.
They never say, well, that's man marking. That's the problem there. It really is. So I'm glad. I think it was Alan Shearer made the point.
Well, Charlie Austin said on Goals on Sunday that he wasn't a big fan of zonal marking. If I was Charlie Austin, I would be endorsing zonal marking as a striker. You'd be thinking, well, if you don't like it, then say you do like it, then you can get more space.
that's true.
I was thinking it might be because if it's owner mark and he's asked to come back and defend corners, and he can't be bothered.
No, maybe that's right. it's a shame for Austin missing the penalty.
It was a poor pen.
It was.
He's a good player. I've seen him play a number of times in the flesh. He's absolute quality, and I hope he scores a hatful this season.
Surely he will.
Really honest worker, and he seems like a nice guy as well. But it was a poor pen. But it wasn't really a pen, so, I mean, it's justice, well, yeah, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I mean, Chester was adjudged to have committed a handball. Bruce was fuming, wasn't he?
Yeah.
We can't go on like this.
First game of the season, Steve.
He looked probably...
You won the match, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't worry about it, mate, you know. But those are the sort of matches that QPR need to be picking up points at, I suppose, because it'll come to the end of the season and they'll be down again.
Redknapp lost his shit as well. He was going crazy on the touchline.
Oh, was he? Yeah. I didn't see that so much. Yeah.
He's got crazy in the news conference afterwards, going, I need more players. You always need more players.
You've got 48 players.
He never said that, did he?
Well, he was basically saying, oh, you know, I've, all of the loan lads we had last season, they've gone. I was like, yeah, because they were loan players, you know.
You've got that's what loans
enough,
are.
You've got more than enough.
Yeah.
Where have they gone?
Those players that are retired, I can't use them anymore.
I need a striker. You've got Loic Remy. Yeah.
Has Ian Lone taken those players again?
Exhausting.
Oh, no.
Hasn't Redknapp got a hoddle in so he doesn't even have to coach himself? What's actually come down to it now, all Redknapp does on a day-to-day basis is press conferences, yep, moaning about how he hasn't got enough players, yep, and just puts a shirt and tie on for the match day. Yeah. Is that all he's doing?
And he unlocks the changing room for poor training.
I bet he doesn't.
All right, lads, have a good one.
He works the fining system. Yeah. Use your mobile phone in the... On the training ground, goes, 50 grand fine, cash.
I'll look after it for you.
Non-consecutive bills, please.
Yeah. Yeah, no loan there.
For extra fine for you, Rio, because those notes you paid your fine with last week were not used. They were new notes, no good to me.
No good.
Oh, man. I mean, what do you think about QPR? They should never have lost that game. They had enough chances. Although, Hull missed a couple. I mean, Tom Ince looked very lively and he should have scored after a nice move. But you are absolutely right, Pete. If you're a QPR fan, I'd imagine you after that game you'd have thought, oh no, not this again in the Premier League. Because I know it's the first game, so let's not be silly here. But I think they've got a real chance of actually staying up. They've got a fighting chance of staying up. Because I think it was Shearer said, you've probably got about 13 teams that could be fighting.
I agree. When I was doing my prep before the start of the season, yeah, I counted 11. I thought I'd got a chance of being relegated.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably put Newcastle in that 13. I wouldn't have Newcastle.
No, probably not. No.
But you're right. There's at least 10 or 11 that will be perhaps fighting.
In the mix-up, yeah.
Yeah, and so you widen it like that, and you do look at some of QPR's players. You know, you've got Austin up front, and you've got a few with a bit of Premier League experience. You've got Hoddle in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What more do you want?
They got Hoddle in because he was basically living in the back of his car in Loftus Road car parks. That's what it looks like, anyway. He's seen better days, that man. I got a lot of love for Hoddle. I think he's a good guy.
He looked good in that navy blue. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
A lot of players just try and unpick the goodwill they got from being incredibly celebrated footballers. Mm.
Yeah.
And Hoddle is definitely in that very, very wide bracket.
But at least he's doing it in the realm of football, though. Mm. Normally it's in the media.
At least he's not just mouthing off, suppose. Yeah, well, he didn't have a strong World Cup, in my opinion, Glenn Hoddle.
His camel toe fingered in his chair.
Oh, yeah. Come on, it's time to forget.
It wasn't my fault. I didn't dress him.
Well, there we are. West Brom 2, Sunderland 2. The game got off to a flying start thanks to little Lee Cattermole scoring an absolute beauty.
It was a great hit.
Probably the goal of the weekend, or possibly the goal.
I can't remember who it was, but someone tweeted saying he basically just envisaged the ball as an opposition player's ankle.
We should do that more.
I don't know what he was playing at there.
It was one of those ones, because it happened so early in the season. Catamol's celebration was a bit like, right, come on, heads on, yeah, that's fine, as if there'll be loads more of that coming, lad. If that happened halfway or three-quarters of the season, he certainly would have enjoyed it a bit more.
It was like as joyless as a Pez dispenser's face, just dispatched a wonderful goal, and then just went, you've had your one, lift me head up a bit later, and you can have another one.
As he's running back to the centre circle, he goes, you like that? Oh, I'm going to do more of that this season. Did he have his shorts up quite as high?
I don't think he did.
They were quite as high. It didn't stand out. Like,
is that giving him more own freedom, do you think?
Possibly has,
to whip the ball in.
Yeah, that's it. Don't have your shorts up too high, ladies and gentlemen.
Again, though, another Sunderland just need... I've looked themselves and they're so slow at the back. Mm. They need a little bit... they need reinforcements at the back, and they need to start with the Barini situation as well.
They're unfortunate, though, because that Anichebe penalty wasn't a penalty.
It wasn't a shocker.
It was very soft.
They just look sluggish at the back for me. They had to think they sort themselves out there. It's going to be a very long season.
Rodwell didn't have the best of debuts. I think he was slated in a couple of the papers in their reviews, which is a shame.
First game of the season, though. You've got to take a lot of this.
It's his first game for a while. Yeah. I think so.
I don't think he was injured at all last season, was he? I think a lot of people assumed that he might have been injured for a bit, but I don't think he was.
No, he just didn't get a game.
Yeah.
It's quite sadly. Berahino, he had a great start to the season last time round.
I'm not sure about Alan Irvine.
Are you not?
As a man,
or as a coach?
I like the way he looks. He looks a bit like an old type, old film star type.
I'm glad you said that, because as a man, very convincing.
Yeah. but he, yeah, I'm not sure if he's a Premier League manager. We'll see. Well, he literally is at the moment, but I'm not sure he would be a successful one.
I think him and Poirier were both sort of echoing each other's points that having the transfer window leak into the season just casts a shadow over the squad. You spend so much time sort of preparing your squad for in pre-season heading into the Premier League season, and then you know you might get your crown jewels nicked from underneath you about a week before you know, the end of the transfer window. And it's just the whole. Like the whole Berahino situation for me just casts a big shadow. He either needs to be there or not be there. That's the worry for me. I think Sunderland need to move on. Basically, they don't have a lot up top for me.
Do you think they should? Well, I know exactly what you mean. Should they change? Should they scrap the window, Pete? In your humble opinion,
should they change it?
Should they move it back?
I think they should move it back.
So when the start of the season happens,
maybe
that's
even
it.
The first week, just move it back a little bit. Yeah. Well, by 3 weeks, I suppose.
But isn't the point that it's almost universal? So different leagues start at different times.
Well, but it isn't though, is it? Because there's loans out, and then a lot of you forget what percentage of deals are loan deals nowadays, and you can do them really late, and different people start. Like Russia starts later than everywhere else, and the American season obviously as well, which is becoming bigger and bigger every year. I don't know, it's a bit of a mess for me.
Let's have a little review of that. But not this year, because it's already gone.
Yeah.
Maybe next year.
Yeah.
There's always next year, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to, before we move on from West Brom Sunderland, Berahino, had a great start to the season last time round, and he's done that again.
And he got chinned by James Morrison, didn't he?
Didn't he? Is that right?
I think there was some sort of dust-up, and he got chinned by James Morrison.
That does ring a bell.
Yeah. He's obviously put that behind him.
Yeah.
His chin.
That's very strange.
That's what Morrison tried to do.
But yeah, it would be great to see him have a good season, because he's a good player. He's a good player. Stay away from Morrison's punches. Score more goals. His second goal was particularly pleasing. Tantalising cross.
I think it was really poor fullback play.
You think?
The fullback gave him about 10 yards.
And he punished him.
He still got in front of him.
And he punished him.
Exactly.
But a tantalising cross from Gardner,
lovely
wasn't
cross,
it?
Yeah, really nice cross.
Lovely cross. One of the plays of the weekend for me. Larson with a deliciously controlled finish made it.
Open his body up, lovely.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's very difficult to do that. Mm. Take it from someone who's not very good at football. That is difficult to do.
It's not narrowing it down, though, is it? It's not a list of things that we find difficult to do at football.
I find throw-ins a bit tricky myself.
Yeah. I think they should completely chuck out the foul throw law. I think as long as your feet are both on the ground at the same time,
do
whatever they want.
Yeah.
It just slows the game
there's
down.
There's a bit of flair. It's not as if like the Premier League punishes bad throw-ins, because they do them all the time.
Exactly.
It's
but
terrible.
They should just get rid of the rule.
I thought you meant get rid of everything to do with throwing, so you can like lob it with one arm.
Or so you can just carry on playing even if you're over the touchline.
No.
Just kick it out from the chairs.
Just
to the stand.
Kickings.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agreed. All agreed. Or just have a big, like a five-a-side pitch, ball all the way around.
Oh, just give us
never goes
like
out of play. Then you get 90 minutes of play. It's annoying, isn't it, when you see ball in play 50 minutes or 60 minutes? I think we need to
get
our money's worth.
Have like a Gunnosaurus cannon, like a T-shirt cannon.
Yeah. Well, when the ball goes out, just sort of fired back in.
Yeah, it gets fired out.
Because they should also
like Speedball 2.
They should also ban the law that says you get booked for kicking the ball away. Because the balls are recycled so quickly, it doesn't actually get an advantage for the team. Mm. The only time you should be booked for that is if it's like genuine dissent, as in you kick it at someone, or you're slowing the game down in some way. Because a new ball comes on straight away from another part of the pitch anyway. Mm. It's an antiquated law.
But I think it's the attitude towards it, though, isn't
it? Of course, if you ping it at someone, or you're dissenting in a way that is genuine dissent, then fine. Mm. But if you try and keep the ball in for a throw-in, but you don't quite manage it, and you boot it away in frustration, you shouldn't get booked for that.
No.
So you're not... Yeah, but I think it's all in the fairness of the spirit of the game, I think, more than anything else. It just shows dissent. I mean, you can show dissent in many different ways, Luke Moore, as you well know.
As previously said...
At Lukey Moore at Twitter.
Yeah, well, as previously said, perhaps this all should be reviewed next year.
Yeah, I think it should be allowed, if someone's taking a free kick, just boot the ball away. And it just encourages quick free kicks. You're like run out the wall, past the invisible spray, as it was. Oh, what was it called? Imaginary squirt spray.
Phantom spray.
And just boot it. Just boot the ball as hard as you could.
Well, like I say, next year. Next year, we'll try and get these Law's forgotten. West Ham 0, Spurs 1.
Hey, yes.
Eric, we're going with Dyer. That's what the commentator said, not Dyer. Dyer with the only goal on his Premier League debut.
Nice fish, round the keeper. Lovely stuff.
It was so accomplished. And he did it in almost sort of slow motion. It was old school. I do like a round the keeper fish. Yeah. But he did it quite slowly. It was as if it was very much step by step.
Yeah.
And then he slotted in and he didn't know what to do. I mean, Spurs had a terrible old afternoon, didn't they? They were down to 10 men. Carl Norton was sent off. Was that a sending off, team?
The thing is, it's a difficult one because was it denying an obvious goal scoring opportunity? Because the guy had the opportunity, didn't he? But he had the opportunity.
Well, was it deliberate?
He had his arms above his head, I suppose.
Was it deliberate?
Yeah, I suppose it could have been.
Okay, what was he stopping?
Was a shot on goal or a shot over the over
shot
the
on target?
Because he didn't give it immediately, did he? He conferred.
Did he?
With
that's
the
all right,
I think so. I think he did anyway.
That's okay. You can do that.
Yeah, there's no problem with that.
I don't have a problem with that. I'm just saying.
Do you think it was a sending off, Pete?
I think they're going to appeal, but I think it was a sending off.
James Collins was two yellows. That was sending off. Definitely.
That was definitely a sending off. But and then Noble missed the penalty.
It was a poor pen.
It was
really poor.
Well, he didn't even hit the target.
No.
If the keeper wouldn't even know, he wouldn't have scored.
No, exactly.
Was that bad?
That's absolutely right, Marcus.
Well, he probably just rolled it down the middle of the kick, wouldn't
he? I don't think Mark Noble's known for missing penalties, really, is he?
No.
He one, usually.
He scored his previous 10.
But is it fair to say the West Ham fans were annoyed with that last-minute winner? Absolutely gutted. Like, the crowd behind Sam Allardyce, I've never seen such, focused fury.
Well, because they should never have been...
Well, the thing is...
It should have been 0-0 at the end,
Generally speaking, the first game of the season, most sort of fans, you'll get a pass. It's the first game of the season. Mm. But when you have a first game of the season, which is a derby... A fiercely contested derby game. It's almost like it's the only game of the Premier League week where everyone's like, you've got to win this.
Yeah,
but, and the knives are out for Allardyce. They have been for a long time.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, but he's not doing himself any favours. He buys players like Valencia stuff and he starts with Carlton Cole up top. Yeah. Carlton Cole?
True.
He didn't look. If he played a million matches, he wouldn't look interested in any of them.
My friend who's a West Ham fan said two problems with West Ham is they don't really create any chances. And then when they do create chances, they don't really take any chances. that is a too big barrier. Yeah.
I thought Cresho was good at fullback. I think he's going to have a good season.
Well, he was a standout fullback in the Championship last season.
Yeah.
And he seems to have hit the ground running straight away.
I mean, the fans were that furious. I mean, one fan ran onto the pitch and took a free kick on the edge of the box.
It's actually quite a good effort.
Did you see that?
It cleared the wall. It was looping. I think the keeper had every inch
of the way.
Who had
the free kick?
Ericsson.
Oh, so it was a Spurs free kick.
Yeah. Mm.
I thought if it was a West Ham free kick, we'll bloody do it ourselves.
I love that. I don't think Ericsson's free kick following that was on target. I think the fans' free kick was genuinely, statistically better than Ericsson's.
Again, look, fans, don't run on the pitch and blah, blah, blah.
You
blah,
say
blah.
It was a looper, but it was, but he didn't have any studs on. I think he was wearing a pair of red Converse. We don't want
to
stand.
He's not been training all week for it.
Yeah, no. But also...
The pitch is watered, remember?
Yeah.
But the wall didn't jump either, so...
But sometimes the wall didn't jump. They're instructed to stay still, weren't they?
Yeah.
So,
can we talk about Pochettino's face? It's got big.
Is it big?
He looks like Nice Guy Eddie in Reservoir Dogs. He's learned English and English food.
Is he speaking English now?
He's speaking English now, yeah.
Oh, that's patronising the Southampton, isn't it? Well, I'm at a big club now, I better speak English. I'm in London now.
What, do you not think it's just the longevity of how he's been here? He's just been here for a longer period of time.
He's been learning most of his English in the Greasy Spoon from the corner.
He could speak English the whole time, isn't it, Southampton?
Oh, is that right?
He just chose not to. He spoke English on the training ground, he just chose not to do the press.
Oh, bad guy, Eddie.
Cheeky.
Naughty guy, Eddie. Ericsson and Lamella looked a bit poor, didn't they?
Mm. Lamella's apparently had quite a positive pre-season as well. So.
Yeah, that's what I heard, but not a positive...
Clearly means nothing.
It's the first game of the season, we'll see what happens.
Meh. All right, it's fine.
Let's not bother doing a ramble.
Yeah.
Let's turn it off.
Our first one. That was our one last season.
We've had our one.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, the sound's a bit poor. It's the first ramble of the season.
Yeah first ramble of the season.
Come on, we've got stereo. 6 to 8 rambles to get into a back fitness.
Jim's banned. He comes back. The Suarez of the ramble. Yeah. Arsenal, they beat Crystal Palace 2-1. Tony Pulis, he's gone.
Yeah.
Mental.
Manager of the season.
Crazy.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Last year, obviously.
And another fine performance from Callum Chambers at the centre-back.
It was, he did well.
Utterly
unconvincing. Cazorla got some spray in the face, didn't he?
He did.
From referee John Moss.
Hangeland gave Palace the lead. Pulis. It's a real gutting one, but you could imagine him and the board just...
Steve Parrish clacking.
Steve Parrish, that's
apparently they've never really got on anyway.
Is that right?
It was more of a
Maybe he'll be in the frame for the Palace job.
Ooh.
Pulis. Everyone's in the frame for it.
Yeah, that would be funny, wouldn't it?
Well, he'd come back in with like a fake moustache.
Interview for an interview. Yeah.
No, it's Pulai.
Antonio Pulai. I only play as the 3-5-2 formation.
Antonio Pulai. Bonjour.
It's not more Italian, would it not be?
But he'd give himself away by still insisting on wearing a baseball cap.
Yeah, that'll be it. Malky Mackay, Steve Clark, they were in the running for it. I assume Megson was.
But Sherwood's in there.
Tim
well.
Sherwood. Would you like Megson? To get...
No. Would you rather have Sherwood or Wee Malky? You'd have Wee Malky, wouldn't you?
I don't know. I find Sherwood quite entertaining in a weird way.
Yeah, but you're clearly not a Crystal Palace fan, are you?
No. That's true. I do like Palace, though.
I think they deserve better than Mackay, to be quite frank.
But they shouldn't have fired Pulis then.
No, I know.
Well,
I don't think Sherwood's as bad as people say. I've realised, having said that I will get a lot of tweets if he gets that job in a few months'
we've
time.
We've not got a lot else to go on, apart from the things that come out of his mouth and things that happen on the field. What else can we go on?
The blind spot
for
me,
though,
Because
we remember him from the 90s.
The blind spot for me, though, is that I think of him as actually a proper manager in my head.
Well, Sherwood.
He took over as a caretaker basis and signed the contract, which we knew wasn't going to be fulfilled. And so he doesn't really seem like a serious manager, whereas Mackay has actually got a team promoted to the Premier League and through other circumstances was relieved of his job. So he probably does deserve it.
Yeah, fair enough. No, okay. So on the basis of that, you probably have Mackay. I'd like to see Sherwood actually get a proper get a job.
But I don't think he should get a job straight in the Premier League.
Not in the Premier League. No, I'd like a Championship club to have a go on Sherwood.
Go on him.
If you pardon the expression, of course. And get him in there and to earn his stripes a bit more because it was a little bit. Partridge through the way to go over Spurs.
Was it not the fact that when he was offered the West Brom job, he didn't get it because he was asking for those sorts of outrageous demands about staffing levels and stuff? I mean, who does he think he is?
Yeah, no, I think
he'd be really lucky to get a Premier League job.
I think it would benefit Sherwood a lot if he went down into the FL72 and got a job there.
Mm.
But we shall certainly see. But he seems to be the favourite. But you can imagine him and Steve Parrish nattering away.
Yeah, well, I think
Cockney.
Part of the reason that Parrish didn't and Pulis didn't get on, I think, was that Pulis loves to spend an awful lot of money, doesn't he?
Mm.
And there was obviously disagreements between signings and stuff. Although Parrish has come out and said that isn't true. Parrish said, I always saw my job as just going out and getting the players Tony wanted. Mm. In which case, he should explain why he left then.
Yeah.
because you've either not done that or you're not telling the truth.
Yeah, but as I say, when Pulis came in, it was very much, we've got to stay in the league. Now that they're in the league, it's a different game. You're starting the season, you're thinking, OK, what can we... Yes, of course, I would imagine, no disrespect to Palace, their objective is to stay up again. But it's more of a clean slate. So when Pulis comes in, you've almost got to say, right, you're the man, how can we do this? Let's go. Whereas if Pulis starts this season and starts saying, well, I want this and I want that, and Paris is thinking, well, I want to think a little bit more, maybe not longer term, but it's a different mindset. But it goes back to the whole debate of should you have a sporting director or just pander to the manager? Because they sign a load of Pulis players and then Pulis gets sacked or he gets an offered another job and he moves on, then another manager comes in, he doesn't want those players. But if you have a sporting director, they're not used to it so much in this country, Pulis is thinking, well, I want that player and I want that man, and the sporting director is going, no, we want to... Yeah. This is a clash, so...
I know what you mean.
You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
I did say before Pulis took the Palace job that they should get him in and then get rid of him when he keeps them up.
Well, that's what they've done.
But I don't know if they have done that. I don't know if Pulis has actually left instead, but always mutual consent or whatever. But...
A few days before the start of the...
Exactly. It's a weird time, and I always think you can't really judge the decision to get rid of a manager or a manager to leave until you see the full picture, which is who he comes in to replace him. Because if I get someone really good in, and he's really successful... Look, the classic example of that is the Nigel Adkins, Pochettino, Southampton thing. Everyone was slating Southampton to get rid of Adkins. But that's not the full picture, is it? Because they get Pochettino in, he's really successful, and everyone looks a bit silly for kicking off. Because it's not always a bad thing to sack a manager. It just seems fashionable to say that it is.
But again, it's not just the... at the point of the Premier League season, it's also at the point of the transfer window as well, to a certain extent. So he's going to be coming in, whoever comes in is going to be working with Pulis's players, and he's not going to be able to put his own stamp on it, and he'll almost have like a get out clause and sort of saying, well, it's not my team until the transfer window opens again and I get backed.
Yeah. Brian McDermott.
Big Bri.
Oh, we'd all like that.
Big Heston.
We'd like that, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I think it'd be fine. Yeah,
give him a good day.
I quite like Brian.
For a change. Crying out loud. But yeah, Arsenal won 2-1. Just about, though. Just about.
And Puncher was sent off, was he not?
Yeah, he was.
He would have been a lot of people's fantasy team picks, actually.
Do you think?
I think he would have done, yeah, because he got quite a few points last season.
Did he? We got a Ramble Fantasy Football League.
Yeah, we'll talk about that at the end, will we?
Yeah, why not? Why not? I've jumped the gun there. Yeah. Liverpool, they won 2-1 as well. Great work from Henderson to set
what
up Sterling.
What a pass. Pass of the weekend, that.
It was great, wasn't it?
Really nice.
But it was classic Henderson in the way he won the ball. Pretty firm challenge. And, I'm going to say, and the assist as well.
Yeah.
Can you say it's classic about a guy who's in his probably early 20s or something?
I hope that's what he comes to be known for, then good luck to him. Because he's going to have a brilliant career.
The ball was so good. Sterling... went to take a touch and he was this is absolutely I just need to do that.
Have you also noticed
little touch into the corner
since between the World Cup and the start of the season, Raheem Sterling now looks and moves exactly like Little Richard. Exactly the same haircut as Little Richard. And someone once said he runs like he's drying his nails.
Yeah, I like that
punch, which he is. He runs like that. He's just a very glamorous player.
Oh he is.
He's got a flourish on him.
He's sort of half Little Richard, half Danny Brown.
What about old Klein, the Southampton fullback?
Played well.
He looks quite glamorous.
Good finish. I don't think Liverpool played...
What a finish!
I don't think Liverpool played that well. I thought Southampton put some lovely moves together.
Klein's goal was superb.
It was. Great finish.
Tadic's assist. But the way, like, the young lad, a young fullback, in front of the goal, with the cop behind him, to smash it in the top corner, was wonderful to see.
I think this weekend, this opening weekend of the season has kind of been... it's been like individual defensive performances being good and individual defensive performances being very bad indeed. So it's kind of like a nice mix. Whereas last
How's your
season,
performance
think,
been this week, Pete?
Passable, I think. You know. I'm coming in at you in mono, which is a bonus. Yeah. So the file size will be manageable for a 3G or 4G connection.
You've had a solid start then,
exactly,
after a poor first week.
It's all about the little victories.
I thought Sorrento put some nice moves together, I should say. And it's one of those things where, again, I thought Sorrento were much better than I thought they were going to be, and Liverpool didn't seem to be that on it. But it's great to see Lambert get his debut for his club he supported since he was a kid. And
of course,
Robbie Keane aside, that is genuinely true. so I'm sure it was an emotional afternoon for him.
Schneiderlin nearly scored towards the end.
Mignolet
touched it onto the bar. It was a fantastic
good save.
Shane Long probably should have done better. With the follow-up. But, it's one of those ones. Liverpool, just probably pleased to get 3 points, get that tricky one out of the way.
Talking of stand-up players, Ward-Prowse was excellent as well.
Yeah, played I did tell well. Him there
yeah.
last
Good
week.
Good player, yeah.
Put him in my fantasy team. But yeah, I mean, yeah, good win for Liverpool. They've been linked with Falcao, but I don't think that's too realistic. I think Falcao's prefer. Falcao says he wants to go to Real Madrid. Well, I bet he does. have you seen who they've got? Like, yeah. Pal? That is the problem there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, they have a disgustingly good side. Yeah. Real Madrid.
Falcao could go to Liverpool. When they're a Champions League club, they're a big, yeah, big club.
Well, absolutely,
and they've got space for him, and yeah, you know, they could build a team around him, and you know, he could replace Suarez. It's just one of those things where they've spent a lot of money, but they've probably only spent maybe 20 million over what they got for Suarez. So it's
I don't think they have spent that.
No,
much,
have they?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. They've got an awful lot of money for Suarez. Mm-hmm. My point was about Falcao. No doubt he could go there, and everyone would have a lovely old time.
Yeah.
But I'm just not sure. With hearing the rumours and hearing,
there's
what
talk
people
of a loan move,
that,
isn't there? It's talk of a right? loan move, yeah.
Bloody hell, I'd love Falcao to come to the Premier League. I think it'd be fantastic. Mm. What a replacement for Suarez, yeah. So, we'll have to wait and see on that one. Any more for any more in the Premier League? No.
Have we missed out some?
Poor old Newcastle, they lost.
Yeah, I thought they played well.
Good win for Villa.
It was good.
Right. Villa had a great win.
Yeah, they did have a good win. Yeah,
the same as they did last season.
Well, they brought back Hutton and Jogby, didn't they? Which is really weird. Like, because they've just. And Jogby was injured for most of the season, same with Hutton. And they just need to get to the end of the transfer window without losing Vlaar, I think. Because he's just.
Talk
their
of Man
team.
United, isn't there? Yeah. But I think there might be a lazy Van Gaal link.
Yeah. It's the Roy Keane effect, people.
Mm. That's it.
The Roy Keane effect.
The Roy Keane effect. I'd like to go down to League Two, if that's okay.
Yes.
Are we all right with that?
I'm well up with that.
Luton Town, they're back in the Football League. I think they won last week, but they lost at home to AFC Wimbledon. It was their first home match in the return to the Football League.
Lovely goal from Matt Tubbs.
It was. I love that name,
Matt
Tubbs. 3-3
got the start of the season.
Doesn't sound like a footballer.
No, it doesn't. Him and Akinfenwa will be good up front this season.
Oh, Akinfenwa. He was given a bit of argy-bargy, but then he knows no other way. the big man.
The guy who genuinely is fat, who plays for Luton. Mm. I forget his name. McNulty, is it?
They were both having a bit of...
Yeah, it's a proper ding-dong between them two. Yeah. The referee was brave to get in the middle of it, I think.
It was a good win for AFC Wimbledon. I'd love AFC Wimbledon to kick on. I think a lot of people would.
John Steele's done a great job to get Luton back into the Football
goodness,
League.
Yeah.
He did a brilliant job at Dagenham and Redbridge before that as well.
He really is quite something.
He's actually quite good in the Football League show as well. He's really interesting.
I watched that,
To listen to. He's sort of cool as he saw it.
Wasn't there like three people on the panellists at that time?
No, two, mate.
But there's only just you.
Rossini and Still.
I was including the host of the programme.
Oh, yeah, Manish. Yeah.
Do you see the League Cup results? FC Wimbledon against MK Dons. That was...
What was the
kind
score?
Of got in. I think it's 3-0 in the end.
Okay,
yeah, that's right.
Because they were refusing to eat or drink anything in the MK Dons stadium. They were eating.
They're on hunger strike.
They went to the IKEA next door, so they set up like stall and stuff.
Swedish meatballs.
Yeah, so they're all eating the Swedish meatballs and then heading over. And they refused to spend any money inside the MK Dons ground, which I thought was a nice touch. They still got hammered.
Yeah. So that was in the League Cup, was it?
Still got bummed in the gob.
What?
We had a 6-all in the League Cup. Ridiculous.
Let's not move on from League Two before we talk about the Super Portsmouth.
I was going to bring it back. Okay. Pete took it to the League Cup, and I thought, okay.
6-all. Oh, Portsmouth win 2-1. Pathetic.
That'll come on in a minute.
Different section.
Expect the running all the dancing. Embarrassment.
Okay, Dagenham Redbridge 6, Brentford 6.
No! Portsmouth 2.
That wasn't in the running order. You can't. I'm injecting.
Here's the running order. Right here. What does that say, tough guy?
That's not in my running order.
Yeah. Oh, I don't give you the proper one. I don't trust you with that.
Straight on to the Scottish Championship. Oh, the real meat and potato
stuff. You're unbelievable, you are.
The running order you get is the running order that Marcus feels you can handle.
It's the running order the world deserves.
Yeah. Some of the running orders will be full.
Excellent. Portsmouth 2, Cambridge United 1. Newly promoted Cambridge, they weren't good enough against the mighty Pompey.
No, Portsmouth went 1-0 up and then had a man sent off.
Yeah, didn't matter.
And then after they had a man sent off, they went 2-0 up.
Exactly.
And then they conceded straight away. And then Cambridge United hit the bar twice, I think.
Yeah.
But Portsmouth saw it out.
Do you think Portsmouth...
16,000 in League 2. 16,000.
It genuinely is fantastic. Mm. That club have been through the bloody mill.
Yeah.
So indeed. That really is great to see that amount of fans.
Yeah, so Portsmouth are undefeated now. Two wins, one in the league, one in the cup. They beat Peterborough, who are a division above them, and they drew extra away on the first day of the season, so started well.
They have started very well. It'd be great. Do you think they can...
They're favourites for the league. I think they'll do better than
they're
they did last
season. They're favourites for the league, are they?
Yeah, they are, yeah.
All right.
I think they'll do better than they did last season. I think playoffs is definitely realistic.
Okay. Well, we'll
have a trip to Wembley. Yeah. I've had quite a few in my time, back when Pompey were cheating.
Well, Well, I think the most important thing is if they can maintain that level of attendance, that's probably more important than the league position, to be honest.
That is so weird,
isn't it? It's all important.
It's all important, right.
While we're in the
just
FL...
quickly, before you move on, Portsmouth also raised £250,000 for more fan donations to replace and get some new academy pitches.
Are they fan-owned now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, no one else would probably take it.
Oh, very good.
Lols. No, that really is...
Yeah, it's great.
Marvellous stuff. While we're in the FL72, or the Football League, as everyone else calls it, Patrick Clivert's agent, he's confirmed that Mr. Clivert would like the Huddersfield Town job. There's a sentence for you.
That's an interesting one, isn't it? This is another Barnet, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they're much better off than Barnet. Yeah. No, he's not going to play. He's not Edgar Davids.
He probably could play. Yeah.
Have you seen the state of him?
Nah, not...
He couldn't play when he was 33.
Have you seen the guy who plays for Luton?
I mean, there's target man and there's target men. When you literally need to hit him with the ball.
I'm telling you now, if Clivert started playing for Huddersfield Town now,
yeah,
between now and the end of the season, he would get 10 goals.
10?
Pens.
Rubbish.
Pens.
All right, fine. We'll never know. No. Or will we? Stay tuned. Yes, where are we going? Oh, and before the League Cup. See, he jumped across two sections.
He lets
this
be on the curtain all the time. He thinks he's Rod Stewart.
Stop quoting BBC Two sitcoms, Luke Moore.
I've got nothing else.
You know, if you're going to quote
let's
something...
go to South America. I'm moving his head.
In the conference, Barnet... They lost.
Not technically the Football League.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry about that.
Is it called the Vanarama Conference now? I think it might be.
It's every. I swear they change sponsors mid season. Well, it's confusing.
It's the conference. Right. The Vauxhall Conference. Mm. That's how we all remember it fondly. Barnet 1, Lincoln City 2. Now, the Lincoln City team bus didn't turn up to take them to Barnet's ground, which is a fair old way.
Yeah.
Good few hours. So the players and coaches, they made their own way there. Okay. But this meant that the tactics board was left behind. So manager Gary Simpson had to use...
Jelly babies. I saw it.
He decided to use jelly babies to mark out his team's formation. It was on the top of a kit locker. Did they push the kit locker
over? I think
they
might have done, yeah. I saw the photo of it, yeah.
Jelly babies, Pete. That's the team talk for you.
Well, I'd like to identify myself as a jelly baby. It'd be nice. I'd be slightly translucent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Chubby.
Have your head bitten
joyful.
Off?
Joyful. Have my head bitten off occasionally.
There we are, you see. So, I love that.
That's the sort of thing that, because it's football, people are really superstitious. Now he'll do that every single game because they won.
They won, didn't they? Love that. The League Cup, there was a 6-6, Pete, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. Hey? I did not the Ronaldo. So.
Dagenham and Redbridge.
Not asked. They,
Daggers versus the Bees.
They, it was 6-6. Brentford won 4-2 on pens. It was 4-4 at the end of 90 minutes. With the Daggers equalising in injury time. So 4 goals in extra time. That's match of the century. None of that 1970 nonsense between Italy and West Germany in the Azteca. That's the one.
And I think Brentford play Fulham in the next round, which is a West London derby.
They do indeed.
Felix Magath doesn't know what it takes to win a game. He's all over the place.
Well, it's a buy for Brentford.
It is.
He's still insisting that he wants a youthful team.
Yeah.
Not that youthful, Felix.
He's raiding the schools, not even the flipping, not the academy.
Does he know that it's 3 points for a win?
He thinks it's like Tahiti or whatever. We'll get the point for the loss, do we not? We'll be there or thereabouts come May.
Fielding stem cells. There you go. Get them. Instead of using jelly babies,
he's going to the hospital. Is that a newborn? Right.
Forget your jelly babies, literal babies.
Building actual twinkles in would-be parents' eyes at the back.
Oh, man. Let's
building at fullback the very suggestion of a drunken one-night stand.
Yeah. Let's go to the Scottish Championship. We all want to go there because the Hearts, they beat Hibs 2-1. Ladies and gentlemen, talk about starts of the season. Away to Rangers, 2-1 of the magnificent boys of Gorgie. Home to Hibs, 2-1 again.
Was there a missed penalty in that game as well?
There was a missed penalty. Craig. Yeah. Kniggy. He missed the penalty. Nicholson scored a great one. Did you see the nutmeg? Nutmeg in off the post. Don't look at me as if you haven't watched it.
I got it on Sky Plus. I want to give it the attention it deserves.
Yeah, the whole game.
Yeah. Not enough time.
I'll tell you something. There was two sendings off, including So the Hero last week gave somebody an elbow. Aladjoui scored a nice one for Hibs. Flicked it over the player and then scored. I mean, just a consolation. Mm. That's all you'll get at Tynecastle. I mean, you score it, but most likely be a consolation.
He's
got,
what is this? He must be looking around going, what is this?
Did you see that? I think I'm right in saying this.
I cannot believe my luck.
I think I'm right in saying this, but forgive me if I get this wrong, but I think Rangers ladies beat Falkirk ladies 22-0.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
And there were six hat-tricks.
Yeah, I believe so.
Wow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty full on, that.
Yeah, well, the Rangers, they beat Falkirk 2-0 away. But, you know, it's not Rangers or Hearts that are top of the Scottish Championship. And this is why it's so exciting. Queen of the South and Raith Rovers are up there.
Yeah.
I mean,
haven't you got a Craigie Brown update?
Have I?
Have you got a Craigie Brown update? You, you told me to ask you this. Come on.
You're a man hewn from Craigie Brown update.
Yeah. No, it's not an update. This is from yesteryear.
Okay, right.
This is, I was on.
Okay, you've learnt a new story about Craigie Brown.
I was chatting. I was chatting to some friends of mine from Bonnie, Edinburgh.
Yeah.
About Scottish independence, all sorts of manner of things. But of course, the conversation.
Was Craig Brown the elephant in the room?
Inevitably migrated to Craig Brown. Because I was saying, you know, all the favourite quotes, and he remembered one, my mate, when they went away. He couldn't quite remember where it was. It could have been one of the Scandinavian
countries. Was Brown managing Scotland?
Yeah, Scotland, yeah. Right. Yeah, and they went away, and they got beaten 3-0, I think it was. And they came back and they was interviewing, and because I think the point was, he said that, you know, Craig Brown, or Papa Brown, as they often call Papa Bruden,
yeah.
He was the last Scotland manager to take them to a tournament.
Yeah.
And actually, as silly and funny as he is, that actually there is a little bit of weird respect there.
Yeah.
But the reasons for, they sort of said, you know, Craig 3-0, not very good result, da da da. And he said, well, actually, we won 5-2 on the corner count, and that's what we were practicing and training. Well, you perhaps practice putting the ball in
the net.
Practice
the goals, then.
Yeah. but what I love about that is, it's not practicing corners. It's practicing winning corners.
Yeah, it's like in the same bit. How do you practice winning a corner?
Kicking the ball at people's legs. Yeah. Shilling
them. We murdered them on that. Oh, that's great, Craig, because we wondered what the bloody hell was going on.
You imagine the guy, it's 1-0, the Scottish player went in on goal, just purposely banging it off a defender's leg to get a corner. Did I do well, boss?
he was at Tyne Castle on the weekend, and this woman stood up and gave a vicious rant, effing and seeing and all the rest of it. Yeah. And she sat down, and this bloke a few seats down from her turned to his son and went, "You see that, son? That's the woman I wish your mother was."
The passion.
Oh, my goodness.
I thought you had one more Scottish story.
Oh, come on. It was too much.
Come on, no, it isn't. Let's make it a top three.
All right. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. And this was a story from very much from yesteryear, when Gary Locke was playing at fullback for Hearts. And Brian Laudrup had the ball for ages, bringing it forward. And Locke, he was caught between two men. He wanted to, because obviously Laudrup's got the ball.
Yeah.
Alarm bells are ringing in any Scottish fullback when that happens. And he went to go to take him to go and make a challenge, but then he thought, oh no, I've still got a man to mark. So he kind of went back, and then he went, oh no, but it's Laudrup, and he's gone forward, and then he's gone back, and he's gone in between these two players. This lad in the crowd, and this is a quote, it just stood up. He couldn't take it anymore. "For fuck's sake, Locke, you're a man caught between two bus stops."
Marcus Speller's Scottish more story
of that.
Time.
Let's do some more next week.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's get Walter Smith involved next week.
I'm sorry. We really must move on.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, everybody. In the Scottish Premiership, Celtic... they beat Dundee United 6-1. I mean, after zooming to the top of the league last week, Dundee United, yeah, they've dropped down to fourth, so there we are. Legia Warsaw's appeal has been turned down, so Celtic can proceed in the Champions League against...
I think we all knew that was going to happen.
Yeah. But the last thing to say on the Scottish Premiership, Inverness, they're the team to beat because they're sitting top of the table with 7 points.
Hmm.
So it's not the Celts at the moment.
No.
What else have we got? Let's go... Oh, Netherlands, quickly. PSV Eindhoven fans are very angry. Wi-Fi has been introduced to the team stadium.
I saw that, yeah. Didn't the protest say, fuck Wi-Fi, support the team or something?
Yeah, you can do both, can't you?
It's a bit of a thing to get annoyed about.
Yeah, I don't know. But yes, let's get away from Europe. Let's go to South America. Let's go to Peru. The Copa Peru is well underway. I know we all know this. Mm. The competition is a series of league tournaments that give the winner and the runner-up promotion to Peru's top two divisions. The lower leagues in Peru, they look a little bit different to that of most of Europe, of course. This was very much evident from a story that came out last weekend. In a match between two lowly provincial sides, play was interrupted by cows running onto the pitch. Lovely scenes.
Yeah.
Lovely scenes. The length of the grass was something to behold as well.
Yeah.
So do
check
that out.
Probably why the cows came on.
Yeah, maybe.
get them involved.
Well, stamp the grass down a bit. Yeah.
Well, I'd
do them a favour.
Well, I should really think about moving stadium.
Why is your star striker on the treatment table? He's got cowpox.
Oh, Pat Bonner.
What?
Pat, cowpat.
Jesus. Mine wasn't a pun, mine was just a genuine...
Cowpox. The first time I wrote cowpox on the show.
Okay.
The precursor to smallpox. Mm. Oh, Sarah Nelms, I think, was the milkmaid who...
Provided
the sores for, I can't remember who started inoculation. Okay. Who created inoculation?
Smallpox probably would have eradicated the entire human race if it wasn't combated successfully. Yeah. A terrible thought.
That Peruvian game wouldn't have finished if the cows weren't rounded up by the dogs and the men.
Is that what happened? They actually had to come on and round them up.
Yeah, they had to round them up, yeah. How else are you going to get a load of cows off the pitch, eh?
No.
Ask them.
Yeah.
No, they don't speak English. Or Spanish. In the Copa Libertadores, San Lorenzo of Argentina won the competition for the first time in their 106-year history.
Wow.
Try to say that too quickly. They beat Paraguayan side Nacional 2-1 in the final. That was fantastic for San Lorenzo. They've got great fans. Many of you might have seen that YouTube clip of them all singing and dancing, singing, "Ooh, San Lorenzo." It's worth having a look at that.
Is the Pope a fan of San Lorenzo?
He is. Pope Francis is a fan, a club member.
Club member, no less.
There you are, you see. A little bit of divine intervention.
Yeah, it must have been. Well, with the big man.
Yeah, indeed. And before we go to Pete's Mystery Voice game, let's see what's going on in the FIFA house. They are about to get sued, ladies and gentlemen. A Colombian lawyer is planning on suing FIFA for £800 million over moral damages caused by refereeing at the 2014
You know when you always hear these big law cases, these big libel cases?
Yeah.
When the person who brings the libel writ against the person, is the amount they claim just completely arbitrary?
It's just a bit of a giggle, isn't it?
They just pick up whatever they want. Do they think, oh, if we go really high, maybe I'll get like a lower amount?
It's clearly not under advisement. Because you just sound ridiculous if you go for 800 million bazillion pounds.
Well, I mean, it is over moral damages caused by refereeing. Aurelio Jimenez, Colombian, who's 74 years old, he couldn't take the poor refereeing decisions in the game between Brazil and his beloved Colombia, which caused him great distress, resulting in a trip to hospital. So
I have to say, some of those refereeing decisions were very poor.
Yeah, but enough to sue. I mean, as much as I dislike FIFA.
Yeah, was that an £800 million decision, though?
£800 million is probably what FIFA spend on their lawyering yearly anyway.
On toothpicks.
On flowers. Jimenez said if he won the case, the money would go to the government organisation that helps improve the welfare of Colombian children. So let's hope he wins.
Well, that's noble.
Noble. His fictional money will go to help some real children.
Yeah, I've given where's the extra £500 million gone there?
Is that a step in the back of your car?
Is that the sunset you're both driving off into? there we are. Now it's time for Pete's Mystery Voice Game.
It is. Pete's Mystery Voice Game returns. This time around, we've got a specific special email address you can get involved with. So,
lovely.
So no worries about using our usual email address. It's very exciting.
Read out the results of last week's.
Yes, I am. I'm glad you said that, Luke, because print it out.
Took 15 minutes to get the... collate the answers.
Not do this.
A few people got the right answer.
So,
I didn't.
So, here is last week's mystery voice.
Of course, it had to be here. Looks to be a great evening. I think it's, the weather's great. Pitch looks great. I'm certain the atmosphere will be great. And I'm looking forward to a great result as well.
Congratulations too. And I can't believe this many people got it, quite frankly. Stephen Martin, Adam Perdue, John Branahan, Lee Applegate, Ant Henderson, Mark Bailey, Gordon Combe, Mike Kennedy, Chris Wright, David Hall and Rob Hanson.
Gordon Combe, isn't it Gordon Combe? I don't know.
Well, you're Gordon Combe. In your collating.
I congratulate you, Gordon, on having an excellent name.
You correctly guessed Sean Gorter.
Sean the Goat.
Hang on, if Gordon Combe is on a walkie-talkie, he'll have to say, "Gordon Combe, over."
You're ruining this, Marcus.
Sorry.
And we're only in the second week. This Mystery Voice competition was supposed to run, but I didn't realise how popular Sean Gorter was.
Got to make
clearly.
It harder. Got to make it harder.
Some choice wrong answers comes from Matt Evans. Look at him laughing at his own joke.
I'm not laughing at that.
Matt Evans went for Dion Dublin.
Yeah.
Madness.
Poor.
Complete madness. David Hogg. Henrik Larsson.
Yeah, again poor.
Again poor. Yeah. A lot of guesses for Dwight York.
Yeah, fair enough.
Brad Friedel.
No. Sean Gorter's...
at least you've got the right sort of ballpark continent.
He's from Bermuda.
Yeah. Paul Maguire thought it was Jürgen Klinsmann. And Andrew Berry thought it was Ronald de Boer.
Yeah.
Ronald de Boer.
Anyway, Sean Gorter, good day. I said to you, Pete, you got to make this harder because we've got some very knowledgeable listeners.
Yeah.
Much more knowledgeable than us.
Perverts. Right. Here is the sixth mystery voice.
I was like, I'm half or something, I stopped. En als ik de begeleiding had gehad en de mogelijkheid om door te studeren, weet je wel, dan had dat voor mezelf beter geweest. Ook in de keuzes die ik gemaakt heb tijdens mijn carrière en de keuzes na je carrière.
Pick that one out, you twat.
That is fiendishly hard. Fiendishly hard.
Very good.
Not as hard as you'd think, I don't think. But we will see, won't we? We will bloody see.
Yeah, we will.
And so, if you'd like to get involved, the email address is voice@thefootballramble.com.
So I hope we don't take someone on as part of the company called Voice.
Called those wanting to be on the Voice on the BBC.
Yeah. Email admin.
So if you'd like to get involved, yeah, it's voice@thefootballramble.com. Who was that mystery voice?
Oh, I for one don't know.
No, indeed. Now it's time for your highlights of the football week with Luke Moore.
Hi, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just asked people again for their highlights of the week, and I hope people are going to get the idea of how this works every week and not me not have to send out a tweet. just keep sending your thoughts through to us on a consistent basis.
Always looking to shed admin.
And the Facebook. Yeah, so this week, what do we got here? Mark Magnusson on Facebook said, I hugely enjoyed David Pleat's radio commentary of the Newcastle-Man City match.
Oh, yeah.
He was doing his best Joe Kinnear impression. I think you'll find David Pleat was getting names wrong way before Joe Kinnear. We had talk of Fabrizio Colacino, Dale Cliche, Paul Drommett.
Paul Drommett, I like Steve Brule.
Yeah.
Cristino Hunks.
Sergio Aguero, Manuel Pellatini, and Sammy Nasri.
I mean, that's almost a full team. That's a good spine, that is.
The funny thing is he's pronouncing some of those foreign names with a bit of foreign flair. But there's no need. It's Nasri.
Colacino.
Nasri.
I mean, Colacino's been in the British game for about 5 years now. Yeah. No excuse.
I like the way he says them like he's never seen the person before. No. But I always used to give David Pleat a pass because he always would be very polite and be like, good evening, everyone.
Good evening, everyone.
Yeah. What else have we got here? Stephen Smith, also on the Facebook. It's got to be Aston Villa's immense service to notable eggs in football, fielding a gloriously hairless defensive axis of Guzan, Vlaar, Senderos and Hutton, shiny Bonce Delph in midfield, and even holding some bareheaded brilliance in reserve with Al Ahmadi warming the bench.
Yeah.
A lot of ball players. I mean, if you can think of a team with more notable eggs in the team, in one squad than that, then please go ahead and tell us. Henry Hurls just backs up what you were saying earlier. Patrick Kluivert being linked with the Huddersfield job.
That was
obviously a bit odd. Steve McNulty versus Adebayo Akinfenwa in League 2. Literally a heavyweight fixture, Jeff. That's from Josh Jenkins. What else we got here? Oh, and here's one here. Lewis Hassan says, Martin Tyler describing David Silva's goal against Krull as revenge for Spain's thrashing to Holland at the World Cup.
Yeah, that's it. That's just as good.
I reckon that's the first thing they thought of, yeah. And I'll finish off with this one from David Stewart. He says, my club, Brisbane Roar, have released a new club badge. It looks like a lion with a jetpack on its back drawn by a 10-year-old.
Class.
So I'll have to make an appointment to check that out. But yeah, @FootballRamble and facebook.com/FootballRamble. Every week for your thoughts and highlights of the week.
There you are. That's it, isn't it? Oh, Luke, you got something else?
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to remind people of betfair.com/footballramble. If you sign up for a Betfair account through that Football Ramble link, you are, before the end of August, you're going to be entitled to be in the draw and in with a chance for winning a PS4 and FIFA 15. So it's betfair.com/footballramble before the end of August. That's it.
Yeah.
Before the end of August, ladies and gentlemen. There we are. That's the end of the ramble this week. As Luke said, if you want to get in touch, especially for the highlights of the football week, then Twitter is @FootballRamble. We're on facebook.com/FootballRamble.
Yeah, and on Absolute Radio this weekend, Rock and Roll Football back for another hurrah. John Champion's our main commentator for this year, which is very exciting. Going to be joined by Clark Carlisle once again. We're going to have live and exclusive coverage from Chelsea versus Leicester live from Stamford Bridge from 3 this Saturday.
Mm. Lovely job. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Pete.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye from me, team.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.